This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's go to Justice Milana now. It's time for a burning platform update with the man who's been so busy over the last few weeks that it would be completely understandable if he decided to take this morning off, but we are just not slackers and neither is Justice.
Burning platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
So it's time for a little update. Obviously, the elections this time last week, we were still busy counting the results for the first day after the elections themselves. And now we have a much clearer picture of what the electorate wanted. Justice Malala, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, very, very good. So, Justice, there's only a few things to talk about today, and I know that you've got a busy schedule today, as you have had for the last few weeks, but there must be a closer, clearer, more easy-to-figure-out pattern coming from the coalition discussions. Do we have any idea, or is it all talk and smoke and mirrors at the moment? We've heard the DA saying that they will not ally themselves with the ANC in any municipality. We've heard the EFF saying similar things. What's the real state of coalition politics in South Africa?
Oh, you know, smoke and mirrors just says it perfectly, girls, because what you're seeing now is people, they walk into a room and they walk out and they say one thing, but then they walk back into the room to do more stuff together. So at the moment, there's been meetings going on in Bramfontein between the ANC the EFF. There's meetings in Tshwane. There's meetings. There's been apparently some meetings taking place in Cape Town. We don't really know. We know that the EFF, the UDM, COPE, got together and issued a long statement, and they issued a long set of demands on land, which is a national policy issue, not a local policy issue. But basically, what they're doing is saying, we are in pole position here. We can dictate to the two big guys what you want. So we're going to put into the basket stuff like land redistribution, stuff that actually if you want to do and do properly, you've got to win at national level to get where you want. But they're thinking there's a gap and we can maybe exploit it.
So in other words, this is a distraction.
This is, well, In a way, it's how far can I take my advantage? How desperate are the other guys to be in power? So how desperate is the ANC to be in power? Is it prepared, for example, to say, okay, we'll have the conversation with Jacob Zuma when we meet and the ANC National Executive Committee is meeting today from today until Sunday. And so we live take the gap and put it on the table that, look, we can still build coalitions and run governments in Tshwane, Joburg, Ekurhuleni if Brother Jacob leaves. So they're putting that on the table. They're putting the issue of land on the table. They're saying maybe we could even run the city of Tshwane if we let you run the city of Joburg, which is something we discussed even before the election. With the EFF putting some of that sort of thing on the table. So there are big demands, particularly from the EFF, and I think what's happening now is the ANC saying, in fact, I know I've spoken to one person who says, you know what, the EFF is now, they want to break the ANC, they want to destroy the ANC, and that's why they're putting such high demands, because if they do, they're in charge with their 8% of the national stake, and the ANC is no longer in charge. And so from the ANC side, I think there is a sense that, you know what, let them do whatever they want to do. We'll see at the next election. On the DA side, interestingly, there seems to be a sense that, look, let's talk. There's been some indications that the DA is prepared to give up, I think it's Thaba Zimbi and another municipality, smaller one, and essentially say to the guys in those towns that the EFF will run them, right. And the EFF will get some what you call MMC position. So it's like being a cabinet minister in your municipality, in your metro, and so they get one or two of those, and it would work. But I think one of the things we haven't focused on is what does this mean when the ANC he loses Tshwane, for example. Musi Maimane had a rally on Tuesday, on Women's Day,
yes,
in which he said, if you agree with us, I'm quoting him directly, if you agree with us that jobs are not for Uchu, that means that jobs are not for friends, then you can be in coalition with us. So think about what's happening today in the city of Tshwane. Now, I know a lot of people who get tenders from the city of Tshwane. Essentially, you're saying, I think the budget is about 40 billion. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I think the Tshwane budget is a massive, massive budget. And suddenly there are hundreds, tens of people, thousands of people who depended on patronage, on the fact that they know so-and-so, and so-and-so knows so-and-so, and so they will get a job because they know so-and-so. Suddenly their jobs are in jeopardy. Suddenly their source of bread is in jeopardy. And so what is happening right now in Tshwane, in the Nelson Mandela Bay, is quite a tsunami. And I'll tell you now, the ANC in Tshwane is desperate to do a deal with Julius Malema and the EFF, just so that many of those people can stay employed, can stay, can continue to tap into some of their wealth that they've enjoyed.
Justice, surely the EFF and Julius in particular are not keen to have ANC cadres continue to benefit from a patronage system. Surely they would stand against that, and this coalition wouldn't last terribly long if that did happen?
They wouldn't stand against it, but let's say one of them gets the speaker's position, one or two of them get MMC positions. The problem with being in a government of that nature is that you are now also part of the, shall we say, the enrichment network. And you also begin to look at, and this is a big danger for many of these coalitions, the junior coalition partners, is that you start to look, you start to feel, you start to sound like the guy who is top-notch. So it becomes very difficult to leave. And it would be, for the EFF, this is a dangerous, dangerous time, because if you go as the EFF with an ANC, which is so dominant, which can still use patronage in many, many instances, then your people can start saying, oh, it's nice and cozy and warm here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, if you go with the DA, you've got to realize that the DA is a center, social democratic, center-right-ish party that essentially everything that it does is against what the EFF does. The EFF wants a socialist outcome. The DA wants me and you to own private business and be capitalists and make cash. That is diametrically opposed. So wherever they go, I think the EFF is going to find itself having to prepare for 5 years of very careful, 5 years of very careful negotiation. And quite frankly, I think the EFF might die either way. And so I don't think the EFF can be a partner that can be trusted.
In other words, they're going to compromise so much that in the end they'll become the junior partner in a marriage of convenience.
Yeah, and then they'll get, you know, whichever way cuts this thing, I think down the line we're going to have a collapse of these coalitions. And that may trigger new elections in these municipalities. And so when you ask the question about are we a bit clearer about what's going on and who's doing what? I think one of the things we have to talk about is the fact that the ANC's take of the vote is the one that collapsed. So the guys who look at these numbers, people like Paul Berkowitz and the other guy, Scholz, point out that there's 3.3 million people who voted ANC in 2014 who now decided, I'm sitting at home and I'm going nowhere. And those 3.3 million can either be grabbed by the opposition, or the ANC can say, we are sorry, we let you down, but come back to us. And so if you trigger a new election in some of these municipalities that are hung, all 27 of them, you are in danger of letting loose those 3.3 million people that the ANC has disappointed.
Right.
And energizing them, if the ANC can energize them to come back home.
Justice,
so the ANC still has massive opportunity there.
There's a conspiracy theory that the DA and the ANC both want the EFF out of mainstream politics, right? And that's probably not that's not the conspiracy part. The conspiracy part is that perhaps for South Africa, the most interesting coalitions could be ANC and DA. And even though they're talking about not getting together, that would be the way to force the EFF out of the equation and to diminish that party's importance. If the ANC and the DA had to collaborate in municipalities, even outside of the metros, there could be ways for them to squeeze the EFF into complete non-existence.
Yeah, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory, and I'll tell you where the conspiracy implodes. The thing about the ANC and the DA is that of the parties that are talking now, they are the closest ideologically. And so their closeness, it's just at the heart of the thing is that the ANC has sort of been iffy about service delivery. And it's been iffy about its leader, who a lot of people criticize. So the key for me is, if the ANC says, the key for me is, in fact, these coalition talks would be most comfortable right now because the DA and the ANC are closer. And then you would have a proper left-right weighting in our politics. So you have the EFF on the left,
uh-huh.
And on the center-right, you have the ANC-DA. And
right.
If you were to ask me what I foresee for our politics down the line in 15, 20 years, I think there will be a coalition, and that coalition will be ANC-DA, because I think those two are, Helen Zille once said that the EFF and the DA and the ANC are two sides of the same corrupt coin. She might be right about the corruption, but actually the DA and the ANC are the same side, are the two sides of the same ideological coin.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And so... I don't think it's a conspiracy to kill off the EFF. I think it's just almost the natural order of things.
The
DA now feels such antipathy towards the ANC that it makes a coalition between the two impossible.
Justice, the other thing that's interesting is that the president is actually in a quite important and powerful position now, with the Gauteng ANC doing so badly in these elections, because he can turn this on its side and blame them. He can blame the leadership of Gauteng in the ANC, who have been opposed to him from Mangaung, who supported Kgalema Motlanthe. They were the only provincial executive to actually stand up to the general flow of the tide at that time. And he could use this to his advantage to eliminate opposition in the province of Gauteng, put his own people in charge. Whereas the Gauteng ANC may actually find themselves in a position where they want to cozy up to either the EFF, as you've already indicated the last time we spoke, or even to the DA, which people aren't talking about.
Yeah. Look, President Zuma is the narrative. If you speak to leaders of the ANC in, say, Mpumalanga or in the Northwest, they'll tell you, we are all to blame. We are all to blame. There's no, or Jacob Zuma is to blame, or Gauteng is to blame. They're saying, we are all to blame. So if we have to do something, we must all do something. Now ask yourself, who are the guys, who are these guys who are saying we are all to blame? Most of them is where Jacob Zuma supports it today.
Right.
And so you're absolutely right. That meeting, many people on the outside of the ANC, on the outside of the NEC, are going into that meeting saying, oh, you know what, it's time for Jacob Zuma to reflect and maybe fall on his sword. Quite frankly, I don't think that's the discussion. The minute this thing starts in that NEC.
Sorry, that was just the president laughing.
The minute that NEC starts, it will be exactly like the NEC.
Exactly.
It will be exactly like the NEC after the Constitutional Court judgment, in mm-hmm. which people stood up and said, but he said he's serious, and he's prepared to pay, and he'll pay. So what's the problem there?
Justice... just to move on to something else, because we're probably going to have many more discussions around the coalition, the state of the ANC internally, but yeah. I'm quite interested in your thoughts on the public protector hearings, which are taking place today. Not hearings, it's almost like auditions. They're interviewing people for this role. We've got Kevin Malunga, who's the deputy public protector at the moment. We've got Willy Hofmeyr. We've got Judge Desai. A couple of others, some well-known names, some less well-known names. Do you have any thoughts on this position and how objective the choice is going to be?
You know, the big debate in the run-up to this was all about how do we make sure that this doesn't become a choice by the 11-member committee. And that it becomes a choice by the people of South Africa, that many, all of us, get to have a bit of a say in this thing. So I'm firstly, the fact that the interview starts in about 20 minutes at 7:45 and will end at 11 p.m. means that actually, many of us won't participate at all. We'll be so exhausted. It's one after the other, boom, boom, boom. And the reasoning for it is that they don't want Gareth Cliff to have heard what Justice Malala said today and come back and try to outsmart him, which I think is a lousy reason all around.
Huh.
So I don't think let's take who's on that panel. Let's take Julius Malema or Glynis Breytenbach, who are the two opposition, main opposition people on that panel. You know, I mean, are they going to listen to every candidate throughout the day and straight through until 11 p.m.? And if things go all right, maybe well into 12, 1, 2 a.m. tomorrow? I just think the way it's structured is, it's not conducive to what we've been talking about. You know, I'm quite a fan of Kevin Malunga, the deputy, and I think that he's got a fair chance. It'll be interesting how his interview goes, but I think the guy has got a lot of good things going for him. You know, Hofmeyr, Desai, all of them experienced people who come from a progressive background. All of them have bits and pieces of bluff against them. And these are the ones that must be ventilated in the interviews. So that's why I worry that the quality of interviews. If Siraj Desai comes on at 10 p.m.
Yep.
and all those 11 MPs are exhausted and tired, and they've been asking people questions all day, quite frankly, I don't know about the quality of that interview and how it's going to turn out.
Right.
So I'm just a little bit worried about the way things are being done with these interviews. So we'll see how it goes. But I just think this day should have been broken into 3 days where everyone gets a proper chance. I don't know if you've seen Julius Malema at the Judicial Services Commission when they interview judges.
He's
fantastic.
Yeah, he's very hardcore. He does a very thorough examination of these people's prejudices and their connections to everybody.
Exactly.
He doesn't take any prisoners. In fact, I mentioned that in my last interview with him, and he just started laughing because he said it's very important that we have judges, and I can imagine with the public protector it's even more important, who are not connected to these networks of patronage.
Exactly. Now, if you're not going to give people enough time to reflect, to answer, and so forth in these interviews, I think that ideal that all of us were hoping to see of getting a public protector who's as good as or better than Chilima Donsela, then you know we are compromising that thing. So I really think there needs to be a big reflection on whether today's process is actually the right one. And I hope and I know Makosi Kosa, the chair of that committee, she should sit down with all of them and say, guys, we are doing ourselves a disservice here. Let's rethink this whole thing because it's not working, and I don't think it's going to work as it is structured.
Justice, one last question about ANC internecine politics, which I know we keep bouncing back and forth from. How is the Premier League faring? Are these three gentlemen, David Mabuza and Supramo Mompelo and Ace Magashule, are these three still in the pound seats when it comes to choosing a successor for the president?
They're still in the pound seat. Look at Mpumalanga and the elections you've just had.
Yeah.
Not a single council has been taken away from the ANC, but there has been a loss in support. It's gone down, but not a single seat gone. So he's feeling very enthused at the moment. In the Free State, only Metsi Maholo, I think, has been lost. Other than that, all councils are secure.
Sure.
The one who didn't do too well but still is ahead is Tupra Mahuma Bello, where the EFF in the mining areas did okay, where the DA has grown a little bit, but still very much in charge of the Northwest. Now there's an extra person on that list of the Premier League, and that's Willis Nkunu, who's the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal and the deputy of the chair, Sifiso Sikelela, in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, in terms of these past elections, the IFP has come back and regained some of the ground it lost to the NFP. But the ANC remains essentially in charge in most places except in Gandla and parts of the north of KwaZulu-Natal. So it's actually more powerful. So the candidates who can get the block in the ANC to be behind them will in my view be the winner at the conference next year. It's been interesting for me that the head of the African Union was a DJ on Power FM on Women's Day.
Yes.
On the day before that, and she also gave speeches at the Women's Day celebrations. And I think I haven't looked at her diary closely, but she seems to be in South Africa a lot.
Yeah.
The head of the AU, and the AU has lots of problems with an election in Zambia today. Will she go to that country and also, you know, do a few things here and there? I wonder. But I think essentially she's in the country because she's running. And if you ask me, while Cyril Ramaphosa and Jacob Zuma were dozing off on the stage on Women's Day, she was criticizing them full on. She said, I wonder where we are going. So I think there's a real election going on, and she's working hard to make sure that that person supports her at the conference.
Let's just imagine a fantasy scenario for a moment. There are, again, conspiracy theories abounding, but let's imagine that somehow an exit strategy for the president has been worked out, and that it was just a question of the elections and making it through the elections, because without him, they would have probably done even worse in these elections without a leader. So let's imagine that the exit strategy is that the president will retire to Nkandla sometime in the next couple of days, and he will surprise the whole nation by announcing that he's decided to go quietly, and that whoever his successor is has made some kind of Nixon pact with him. You know, Nixon and Ford, where Ford pardoned Nixon and everything was kind of forgiven, and he disappeared into the hinterland. And let's imagine then that Cyril Ramaphosa becomes the president somewhere in the next few days, and that he is then the president until 2019, giving him ample time to secure that position for himself. And in the light of that he could destabilize certain power structures within the ANC that would stand against him. Is there any possibility that then Cyril's chances are supreme in the ANC and that the others will all fade, as opposed to the scenario that we're looking at now, which is that the president remains in office until 2019 and those in his faction are the ones who become ascendant?
Yeah, it's possible. We have 16 months to go to the ANC conference next year. In that 16 months, if Cyril gets to become the president of the republic, then the race towards that state begins to be more fulsome towards him, more interesting. And so people start to look at him and say, maybe he should just stay on instead of having a new ANC president who will come in, and then we're going to run with that president, and Cyril's going to be stepping down from the presidency after that. Or he could become the Ford-Nixon deal guy that does the pardon and all that, and then immediately afterwards, the ANC does to him what it did to Thabo Mbeki, and essentially to say, we've got an ANC president, and this is costing it 2 centers of power, so we're going to get rid of you and put our real candidate into place, so that when they campaign for 2019, they're already in place and people know who they are and how they do things. Dallas, I want to take a bet with you and Ben and Mabale. Jacob Zuma is not going to be the scenario, the conspiracy scenario that you claim. My view is that it's not going to happen because it's not going to go past the National Executive Committee of the ANC. That National Executive Committee has 86 members plus 14 members from the provinces, so every chairperson and secretary of all the provinces. So that's about 110 people in that room this weekend. Yeah?
Yep.
Of those people, when I do my count, when I take the list of 86 and put it next to the list of about 17 others, I'm telling you right now, Jacob Zuma has about 60% support, and the support says Jacob Zuma is not to blame for this. We can reflect, we can do this, but Jacob Zuma says. And so I don't think a deal is going to be done. Jacob Zuma himself wants to stay on, and I'll tell you why he wants to stay on. He wants to stay on to make sure that SAA is not restructured by the finance minister. He wants to stay on to make sure that the nuclear procurement deal comes through before he leaves office. Those are the two key issues for Jacob Zuma, and I don't think he's going away. So if you guys are happy, I'd like to take this 300 rand and put it on the table, and you guys take 100 rand each.
Right.
I will pay you real money, because in December next year, Jacob Zuma will still be in office.
All right.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
But that's my bet.
Well, let's see what happens. I'm happy to take that bet. It's on. Thank you, Justice.
I see Ben and Mabale are quiet.
Yeah, they don't want
to. No. I'm just waiting for the terms, Justice. What are the terms for the winner or the loser?
You give me 100 rand when I lose. When we go, all of we're going to do a live broadcast from the ANC conference in December next year.
All right.
And you guys are going to give me 100 bucks each, plus you're buying me lunch.
All right. Deal. Okay. Deal. Done. Let's take this bet. All right, Justice, thank you so much. Justice Malala and the Burning Platform.
Cheers,
always good to talk to you. And we'll check in with him again next Thursday between 7 and about 7:30, 8 o'clock, depending on how much there is to talk about. And there's always a lot to talk about, so we have to watch the time. Otherwise, we run on, Ben, and there's no time for anything else.
It's just fascinating how this coalition government stuff is just going to shake up everything.
And all these theories that are starting to surface about what's going to happen to who, where, when, why. I mean, it's fascinating. But we are in an interesting time and place in our country's history. There's absolutely no doubt that the stakes are as high as they've ever been. We're just going to keep an eye on this. And Justice helps us to figure out exactly where it's all going. He says, by December next year, Zuma's still our president.
Yes, he will still be the...
So you agree?
Well, you know me, eternal pessimist.
Okay, but then we've taken a bet against that position, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to change now, but...
All right, let's see what happens. Thank you, Justice and Nando's, for bringing us the Burning Platform every Thursday.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.